Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Have you heard your fellow Lutherans, fellow Christians, maybe even your pastor say something like, well, Lutheran worship is just German, it's ethnic, it's European, or it's too complicated, or it's for older people, or it's just man-made traditions, or that Lutheran worship isn't really spirit-filled, it's too stilted, too formal, maybe that, well, Lutheran worship is just boring or doesn't communicate with our culture today and the language of our culture? I'm sure you have heard all of those statements, or at least some of those statements at one time or another. Are any of them actually true, or are they just a bag of myths? We're going to be talking about myths regarding Lutheran worship. Joining us on this Monday, August the 3rd, Pastor Sean Denzer, Director of Worship and International Center Chaplain for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Sean, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here, Todd.
Do Lutherans have a theology of worship?
I think you could say we do. There's a quote from our confessions where it says that the highest worship is faith that receives the gifts of God. And I think that's a fine way to describe it. Another way to describe our theology of worship is with the word that we use most often for our worship. In English, divine service, coming from the German Gottesdienst, which literally means God's service. And it's a wonderful term in the German because it goes both ways. First, that God serves us with his word and with his sacraments. And then that we also respond to that with our praises, with our singing, with our prayers, and with faith, which is born from that word by the Holy Spirit.
Lutheran worship is sacramental. It's not incidental to how we understand what worship is in its essence. So how does that fact distinguish worship in a Lutheran sense from other confessions of faith and how they think of worship?
The word worship narrowly simply means to ascribe worth to something, to praise, I suppose, in its narrowest sense. And for a lot of people, that really shapes their understanding of what happens when Christians gather together. The number one thing we're doing is praising God, is doing something for Him. And if you think back to the age of idols and pagan worship, that absolutely characterizes their activity too. They've got to buy off the gods. They've got to somehow get them on their side. The gods are the audience, and we're the actors. But Lutheran understanding is entirely different because it comes from the way the scriptures talk about it, especially Colossians chapter 3, where Paul says that we're to let the word of Christ dwell richly in us, by teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts toward God, that the defining characteristic of worship is God at work in us by His Word and in His sacraments, that the Holy Spirit is the starting actor, that Christ and the whole Trinity is there delivering His gifts to us in His Word. Only then, at that point, do we begin to respond with our prayers and with our praise for Him.
Let's talk about some of these myths regarding worship, beginning with the one that I think is probably most common and is usually meant to cast a derogatory light on Lutherans, and that is that Lutheran worship is German, it's ethnic.
Yeah, it's hard to deny that, of course, our cultures that we live in tend to shape a lot of what we do. And it's true, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was originally called the German. Well, actually, you have to say it in German because German was the only language that was spoken. But to suggest that the liturgy or the divine service itself is German is to miss the long history of the thing. It's true, they may have spoken most of the service in German, but there were still parts that were actually in other languages. The Kyrie was almost always spoken in Greek. Many parts of the service were named for their Latin names. And many Hebrew words, probably the most obvious of them being Alleluia, continued to be spoken in the service. So I suppose you'd have to include those nationalities along with it. Now, of course, most of us speak in English. There are, I think, no German words that have actually been carried over in the service. And the parts themselves date from well before Germany was even a nation. And they come out of the Holy Roman Empire. They come really out of the Greek-speaking world. And then since the Old Testament is foundational for so much of the liturgy's text, particularly the Book of Psalms, it's got to date right back to the time of David and to the whole Old Testament as well. The liturgy and the worship of the church is tied to the church, and the church is not tied to any particular nationality. So by extension, the worship, the service that we have really is not tied to any nationality either. It transcends that. And that's why you have people from all over the world in all places singing hymns that may have come from Roman territories, that may have come from Germany, and we sing hymns that may have come from other places in the world. Once the church gets a hold of it, it doesn't belong to your nationality anymore. And at this point, there's so little of our service that German Lutherans actually changed or added that hardly any of it deserves to be called German.
So they simply inherited the divine service that the church had handed down for, at the time, a millennia and a half.
Absolutely. The Lutheran Reformation was often characterized as a conservative Reformation. Our principle was not to throw everything out and start over, but our principle was to assert that there had been Christians all the way from the time of Christ and the apostles, even up to the time of Luther. Despite all the darkness that was brought onto the church in the Middle Ages, the church was still there. So gladly we received all of these wonderful gifts and treasures in our hymns, in the liturgy, and its order of service that previous generations of Christians had used. The only thing that needed to be done was to brush off some of the dross, the false teachings that have crept in.
Another myth is that Lutheran worship is complicated or even overly complex. How do you respond to that one?
You know, if you've never been to a Lutheran church service, I probably have to agree with you first. It's going to seem complicated. Really, it's just going to seem strange. The thing that we have to say is it's by design, actually. If you come to a Lutheran church service and say, this is like nothing else I've ever seen, I don't know what's going on, that's okay. The things that are happening in our services don't happen everywhere. In fact, they don't happen anywhere else except where Christians are gathered on the Word of God. This is where the forgiveness of sins is given out. This is where the Lord's Word is proclaimed and enlivens hearts. And no, that doesn't happen everywhere. So we're not ashamed that our service looks different than the rest of the world. But at the core of it, it isn't that complicated. It's the simplicity of God's Word, the simplicity of our amen of faith given to His Word. It's that He serves us and that we receive what He gives. We offer thanks, we rejoice, we ask Him for more. That really sums up everything that's going on in our worship service. Now, it does have parts that have to be learned, and that's because the origin of worship doesn't start with us and our spontaneous ideas, but it starts with the Word of God. And the delightful part about our service, our liturgy and our divine service in the Lutheran Church is it is a routine that is intended to impart the faith for our whole lives. There's a benefit that we see to routine or to order, and that is that it makes it simpler than all of this life's chaos. We expect the week to be full of unexpected surprises and all sorts of struggles, but when we come to church, the order that we have from God's Word is in fact going to give order and calm and peace to our lives as well.
What do you say to that person? And I have heard from many people over the last two decades who listen to this program. They become interested in Lutheran theology. They try out a Lutheran church, and they very rightly go to a liturgical Lutheran church. And it is overwhelming for at least a month of Sundays to try and take it all in. What do you say to that person who says, I want to be here, but I'm having a hard time following what's going on Sunday morning?
Yeah, I would say to them, first of all, give them permission to feel out of place for a while and just admit it to them. Say, because this is so otherworldly that we're actually going to have God's Word directing everything, which you will find nowhere else than in the Church of God. Expect it to be a little out of the ordinary and strange, and live with that for a while. Now, how do you help them actually overcome that and get into it? I think one of the best ways, especially if they're a Christian already, is to point them to the fact that the Word of God is the liturgy itself. It's everywhere. Just listen and take it all in and see how much of the Bible is just piled into this thing. You're going to hear it washing over you all the time, whether it's the pastor preaching, whether it's the prayers and the hymns that are being sung, or whether it's the readings that, I mean, we're going to devote a significant amount of time to just hearing chunks of the Bible read. And the reason is because the Holy Spirit is at work in the Scriptures and in the Word of God. So that is a comfort also to those who don't understand everything going on, maybe with the depth that they can see, the richness that they can observe is going on. That's all right. The Holy Spirit is still at work. And this is a delightful thing, by the way, for those who are lifelong Lutherans and still don't think they've understood everything or still think they're not getting the full richness. Relax. You've got time. Our service is designed for you to be part of it. And it's not going to be new next week. It's not going to change in 5 years, but it's going to have a richness and a depth to it that you're going to experience your entire life. And that means you have time to grow into it. If you don't understand what this particular text means, leave it for next Sunday. Leave it for 2 years from now. And the great part is it'll never leave you feeling like, well, I've got this taken care of. This is all boring and old hat. Actually, there's always great new things that pop up. But that's the way the Word of God is. It's always revealing things to our sinful hearts and also the great joy of the gospel to us over and over again.
Pastor Sean Denzer is our guest. We're talking about Lutheran worship misconceptions and myths. He's director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The next myth: Lutheran worship is for, well, old people or white people or European people.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, Altamont, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Peace Lutheran, Rapid City, South Dakota. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. St. Peter Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Zion Lutheran, Tacoma, Washington. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Every knee will bow then. Every tongue will confess the things you already say and sing here in his congregation.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
And peace will be as it is even this day upon you, the Israel of God. Amen.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday, August the 3rd, we're talking about Lutheran worship myths. Sean Denzer is our guest director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When we conclude our conversation with him, we'll talk about some secular religions on the right and the left with John Daniel Davidson. Sean, another myth is that Lutheran worship is for, well, kind of fill in the blank. It's for old people. It's for white people. It's for people of European descent. How do you respond?
The liturgy or the Lutheran service is suited for all of those things. But you're right. Once you start segmenting us off into little age groups or demographic groups, we do a disservice to ourselves. The church is a marvelously inclusive word. Church means the gathering, the assembly. And you might start asking limiting questions like, well, who gets to join in this assembly? Is it marked off by race? Well, no. The scriptures are very clear that Jews and Gentiles all ought to be gathering together around Christ. Is it segmented off by age? You know, this is the children's service, and then this is the old folks' service. No. From cradle to grave, the Lord brings Christians, right? Let the little ones come to me and do not hinder them. And he reveals himself to Simeon, the old man who's about to die. Rather than think that it's for one particular group, it's better to understand that Lutheran worship is intentionally, deliberately suited for all ages and all groups, to be a resource from cradle to grave, and to make disciples not just for this moment or for this trend, but for life, for eternity, in fact. So no, it's not just for old people, although it has something for old people to grow into and remember fondly. It's not just for children, but it's got so many repetitive, simple parts that little children can begin to be involved in it even before they can read. It's not just for middle-aged people like me with kids and busy lives and families and hardly the time to juggle a hymnal on top of children. Well, actually, it's got parts that can be memorized, and it's got parts that are spoken just to me that I just get to enjoy. So it's for everybody.
Does this myth often get perpetuated or institutionalized in that churches in the last, five decades, especially Lutheran churches, have tried to kind of have it both ways? They're going to have their traditional service at 7:30 in the morning, and then at 9:30 they're going to have their contemporary service or their praise service. And people tend to notice that those who grew up with the liturgy stay with the liturgy. And so that service gets perceived as the geriatric service, so to speak.
That could be. I think we've done ourselves a disservice by, as you say, by dividing us up by demographic group. And I suppose there are so many demographics we've never even explored that we really could divide the church up even more. But I think people are starting to realize the benefit of having everybody together is that you're passing it on. In the Psalms, it says, you know, that one generation tells to the next generation the great deeds of God. And it talks about how we're to walk around Zion and number its towers and its bulwarks and mark out all the decorations and the towers in this city. Why? So that you can tell it to the next generation. Christianity is not a sprint, it's a relay race. And it's our goal not just to have won the race and to put the baton into the trophy case and say we're done, or we did it for our time, but it really is to hand it on to the next runner so that they can run with this gospel, so that they can be comforted in their times of struggle. And for that, as the book of Hebrews says, we need each other. The old member needs the young people in church. They need to see those children just beginning to cut their teeth on God's word, but having the joy and even the loudness and the wriggliness that comes with being a child, but to have God's word and to grow in it as a child. That is so comforting to the older people in the congregation. Likewise, it ought to be the same for us young people, that when we see these old, hardened saints, you know, they've been through things that we can't even imagine, and yet they still are persisting in the faith. They have great advice for us. They encourage us to continue. That builds us up as well. So we don't want to end up cutting out chunks of this church, or we'll end up cutting them all. We'll end up dividing the church so much that it has nothing to stand on.
Here's another one, Sean, and this one is sadly perpetuated by a fair number of pastors who certainly know better, but apparently don't want others to know better, and that is that Lutheran worship is just a bunch of man-made traditions.
Yeah, or rules, right? All these man-made things, man-made decisions, and you can't bind my conscience by asking me to continue in any kind of a tradition. I think that's, you know, there's an element of truth to the accusation. In the New Testament, quite unlike the Old Testament, we haven't been given a book of Leviticus. We don't have it all laid out for us, you know, what color the turban that our pastor's supposed to wear is. In fact, we don't even have to wear turbans. So there's a great deal of freedom in the New Testament. And yet, what we have in worship itself is not a man-made tradition. Yes, maybe the order of songs has grown up over centuries in the church. Maybe we worship on Sunday because our Lord Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week, even though God didn't tell us we have to gather every Sunday, which I don't think any Christian would actually give up on. But what we actually say and do and deliver in the Lord, in the divine service, is a God-given tradition. Because everything that we say in the liturgy, with very few exceptions, is the Word of God. It's actually a straight quote from the Bible. If you have Lutheran service book, you can go into the divine service settings, like 184, and you can find little references to all of the biblical passages that form these parts of the service. There's very few that have been made up, maybe the hymns, except those are usually based on some sort of Bible passage. Maybe your pastor's sermon, except the whole point of having a sermon based on the lectionary is that he's preaching the Word of God to us from Bible passages. So the result is that, yes, even though a lot of our ceremonies, our actions, and some of the ordering of these passages of the Bible are a human tradition, what is actually said is a quote from the Bible. And the amazing thing is that we end up having more Bible in our service than most of the churches most concerned about man-made traditions do. Most of the Protestant churches, for example, have no Bible reading. They don't read a chunk of the Bible. Instead, they have their pastor preach for an hour based on the Bible, kind of going verse by verse, which is a fine way to explicate a passage. But they don't have the benefit that we do, where we read whole lections. They don't have the benefit of even our points in between are peppered with all these phrases from the Psalms that are being sung by the choir or sung by members of the congregation or the pastor. So we end up having more Bible than almost any other church I'm aware of. So those man-made traditions are serving the purpose of what the Bible says we ought to do, which is to let the Word of Christ dwell richly in us. And that's what the Lutheran liturgy does.
And do we need to make the case, as you did in kind of a sidelong way just a moment ago, that tradition is a good thing, especially in the church?
Yeah, Jesus, of course, came down hard on the tradition of the Pharisees, but the bad part about it that he tried to get rid of is to turn these traditions of men into commands of God, right? To say that we have to do these things as if God commanded them when he didn't. What is good about traditions, in fact, what can't be avoided about traditions, is it passes things along from generation to generation. It's impossible for us not to fall into some kind of tradition. I just don't think anybody can live where they're constantly doing something new all the time. If you have any routines, if you get up and brush your teeth every morning, you've already got a tradition. Now, here's the question. What is your tradition reinforcing? What is it that you're, in fact, handing on with this tradition? For us, we make a huge distinction between the traditions that come from God himself. Those are the ones that are in the Scriptures, the Bible, and the traditions of men, which may be, you know, habits like brushing our teeth or anything else. But wherever our human traditions aid in the passing on of the real tradition, that is the Word of God, that's when they're valuable. That's when we'd like to keep them. And that's what we have to watch out is, are the traditions and the things that we prize and we love that we do together that are free, are they perhaps hindering the Word of God or in some way cutting certain portions of the church off from the Word of God or cherry-picking the things that we like and avoiding things we don't like from the Word of God? Those traditions are harmful, and we don't have to keep those.
Pastor Sean Denzer is our guest director of worship for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. We're talking Lutheran worship myths. When we come back, the myth is that Lutheran worship isn't spirit-filled.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick-and-mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about misconceptions regarding Lutheran worship. Sean Denzer, Director of Worship and International Center Chaplain for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is our guest. Sean, another myth is that Lutheran worship isn't, quote unquote, spirit-filled. What are people observing in Lutheran worship that makes them draw this conclusion?
I think they mean it's not spontaneous. They mean it's formal, and therefore the spirit, who's a kind of free fellow, I guess, is not involved in it. I'm not quite sure where that idea comes from. Maybe some misunderstandings of some of the things Jesus says in John's gospel, that the Holy Spirit is going to free us or lead us into all truth as if it's something new. But actually what Jesus says over and over again is he's going to, the Holy Spirit, when he's doing his best work, is calling to mind the things that Jesus has given and pointing us to Jesus and all of his gifts. That's what the Holy Spirit's really supposed to do. And so if we're looking for spirit-filled worship, and we have to mean the Holy Spirit, I think, actually Lutheran worship is very spirit-filled. Because where is it that the Holy Spirit does his work? It's in the Word of God. That's how he promises to work. And as we've already said, Lutheran worship is, for the most part, nothing but the Word of God, richly and in many diverse ways given to us so that it would go into our hearts and stay there. The Bible is the Holy Spirit's greatest work. We can't forget that. So if you want something spirit-filled, you're going to want something that is biblical, something that is rich in the Bible, rich in the Word of God. And that's exactly what Lutheran worship is.
Does this particular myth betray, in fact, a low view of God's Word? That they could say, oh, yeah, you get the Bible, but you don't have the Holy Spirit, as though the very Word of God is not the means by which the Holy Spirit does his manifold work.
Now, Father, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. That's what Jesus prayed in John 17. There's a danger in mistaking our own thoughts and ideas as sanctified Christians for being the Holy Spirit's word. This ancient, false teaching, we Lutherans call enthusiasm, and we recognize it at work in everybody's heart, including our own. Just how easy it is for us to say, I think this is a good idea, or this makes me feel good, or this seems right. And if I'm a Christian, doesn't that mean it has to be right? Isn't this the way the Lord is leading me to do something wonderful? Well, that ignores the fact that our hearts are desperately wicked and no one can discern how deep it goes, as Jeremiah says. Well, the way to discern it, the way to check ourselves and our own hearts, is always by checking them against the Word of God. So yes, Lutheran worship ends up being a little more formal, I suppose, than just kind of sitting around waiting for somebody to share their insight from what they were reading from the Bible the last couple weeks. That's because we want to be a lot more front end on letting the Word of God itself reign in our gatherings. So we've got formal ways to make sure that we're hearing the most significant portions of the Bible every year, that some of the parts of the Bible we just want to have front and center every single week. And that's why we have the parts of the liturgy that never change, that really are parts of the Bible that we get so deep in our brains, in our minds, and in our singing and in our living that we can't ever get rid of them. And that is to say, to get the Holy Spirit's means of grace deep within us. That's how you become spirit-filled.
We don't seem to have a problem with formality, as informal as our culture has become. But we don't seem to have a problem with formality, routine, even tradition, in other facets of our life. A high school graduation, we still want the formal robes, the pictures. Even at a time of global pandemic, we want to see those kids walk ceremoniously across a stage and receive a formal congratulations from the teachers and things like that. Why the disparity there, Pastor Denzer?
I don't know. I'm afraid to answer that question, frankly. I think it means we don't believe in God, or we don't think he's as serious as he is. There are some amazing videos you can see of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. It's just one of my favorite images. You know, the guy walks back and forth, rain, snow, shine, doesn't matter. They take that job absolutely seriously. And if you've ever been to a funeral, a burial where the military comes out to honor the dead, you can tell they take this seriously. Country, the service to our country and the military, that matters, right? But man, if you step across the line and start to be irreverent, if you're at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and you start giggling, there are times when those soldiers have unshouldered their gun. I don't know if they've even pointed it at people, but they yell in a loud voice, "You will show respect at this monument." Everybody kind of wets themselves, I think. It's a horrifying moment. And suddenly we just get broken out of our giggliness and remember, this is extremely serious. And these guards are not pretend. They're not toy soldiers. They're meant to kill if necessary. And they really are guarding these tombs. That's a place where reverence shows itself, right? And there are other places, like you mentioned, where reverence matters. It's our functional atheism that forgets that reverence matters before the holy God, our creator, the one against whom we've sinned and brought this world into great futility, and yet the one who has sent his son into our flesh to redeem us, to actually put his angels on honor guard duty for us, fearsome though they be. So you're right. I think the things that matter, we still give due attention to. So we all have to be called to repentance, but also recalled to the great truth that this is a serious thing, and a serious thing that gives joy for eternity. And so we have a privilege and a duty and an honor to come into the presence of God, to have his word dwell richly in us through song and through action and through service, so that we also may give him our praise and our thanks and our prayers.
Another of these myths, and frankly the laziest one of all, is that Lutheran worship is boring. What are your thoughts?
You can't say that. You can't admit it. And I've done it too. I have to admit that I have. But look, if you say that Lutheran worship is boring, as we've said, Lutheran worship is nothing other than the scriptures themselves being richly poured over us. You're saying that God's word is boring. You're saying that his life-giving gifts of forgiveness and salvation are boring. Now, I get bored, and I'm sure we all do. But that's my sin, right? My boredom is my failure to realize that how serious and how delightful this is, how nothing's more essential than this. So, yes, it's true that Lutheran worship can be boring, but it's not because the worship itself is boring. It's because we are bored people. And of that, we have to repent. And how can we then stay engaged? That's probably a good question. Well, I think here are some good tips. One is to recognize and remind ourselves what the value of this is. Remember the third commandment, that this is to sanctify us by the word of God, and that he delights in preaching to us, and so we ought to delight in hearing that preaching. To remember what the point of it is, that the Lord is giving his forgiveness of sins to us, that he's strengthening and keeping us for eternal life. Consider Luther's questions about the Lord's Supper, how he tells us if you don't have a desire for the Lord's Supper, pinch yourself, you know, see if you're still a human and realize who's attacking you. See if you still have flesh and if you're in this world. See what God says about the world and how it'll always be against you. And if you're in this world, you know the devil's out to grab you too. Suddenly we realize how desperate we are, how fragile we are, how much we need what the Lord is giving us. That's what's going on every Sunday when we gather for worship. If you're looking for other practical things to help you be engaged, I think there, from a human perspective, you can get out what you put into it. Now, I don't mean that to say that we have to do our part to earn our salvation, but I do mean that we will benefit more from worship if we take the time to think about it, to be engaged in it. One of the simplest ways to do that is to read the texts that are coming up this Sunday, or to listen in to Lutheran Public Radio and to what you guys are doing to put those wonderful looking forward to Sunday mornings up. That's a perfect way to get engaged with the texts and to have an idea already forming in your mind about what you might be hearing from your pastor's sermon and what you can hear for a second time and probably get a lot more out of when it comes to hearing it in the service.
Pastor Sean Denzer is our guest. We're talking about Lutheran worship myths. He's director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Well, if we're bored, the temptation is sometimes to spice it up. What's the danger of trying to make Sunday morning entertaining?
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with Holy Innocents Martyrs, from Egypt to Galilee, the introduction of the Baptist and the coming one, and Jesus receives a sinner's baptism? Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Hi, I'm Pastor Palmer from Catalina Lutheran Church in sunny Tucson, Arizona. We're a confessional, liturgical, hymn-singing, Bible-teaching, gospel-preaching congregation, and we would love to share God's good gifts of word and sacrament with you. Look us up online at catalinalutheran.org or give us a call at 520-825-9255. God be with you.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about Lutheran worship myths. Pastor Sean Denzer is our guest director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Sean, before the break, we were talking about how one of the myths is that Lutheran worship is boring. That's like, tantamount to calling God's word boring because there's so much of God's word in the divine service. Well, when encountered with that myth, I think some people would succumb to the temptation to spice things up on Sunday morning. What's the danger of trying to make Sunday morning entertaining?
The danger is the thing we find attractive is all of that entertaining stuff that we've added. There is a joy and maybe even a fun to almost every activity on earth. There is a redeeming, enjoyable quality to a hard day's work that some people just, you know, they're sweaty at the end of the day and they give out a big sigh and then they say, look at what they've accomplished, right? And they feel good about that. That's joy in the work. Likewise, there's joy in the worship. There's joy in hearing God's word with faith and being refreshed, being encouraged, perhaps being called to repentance and have a sense of seriousness and failure, but also in having just the pure joy that we have a God who's condescended to us to redeem us. That has to be the source of the joy. We could put in lots of other things that would spice it up, but our joy would be found in those other things. We got to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And the only way to do that, I don't think there's any shortcut other than hearing the Word of God, learning it, praying that the Holy Spirit would work in us so that we wouldn't be on our own for this, in which case nothing will get done. But to find delight in the Word of God itself and in Him through that Word of God. This is the only way that our delight will actually be in what matters.
One more myth that I think has become more popular in the last decade or so, all these have been around for a long time, but this one is that Lutheran worship doesn't speak the language of our culture. It doesn't speak to our culture anymore. It's obsolete.
If it's true, it goes back to what I had said before, that what we do in church really is meant to be different than what is all around us. The way that the Word of God speaks to this world, and that means to every human culture to a certain degree, whatever it is, fallen, is not to come along and affirm it, to resonate with it, to echo what it says, but rather to speak somewhat critically, to come in and remind us that the wages of sin is death, that everything we see here is being stored up for fire, as St. Peter says, and all of the works on earth are going to be exposed at the last day when the fires burn up this world. So the Word of God comes with a criticism to the world, and it comes to call us to repentance, to show us our sin. It comes to speak of a judgment that actually can endure the last day. And that's not the judgment of us according to what we've done to see if we're good enough to get in, but it's the judgment that was poured out on Jesus Christ in our place, the righteousness of Christ, the only rightness with God that actually can prevail and avail for us at the last day. And that's what the gospel is. It's an utterly otherworldly message that the Lord who created us has come and put Himself low in order to raise us up, that He's put Himself into death so that we wouldn't have to face that punishment, and in fact that He would give us His eternal life entirely apart from what we have done. That's going to be an otherworldly message always. If we ever think that it's become resonant with this world, we've probably changed that message to fit this world. So it's, in a sense, I don't know if it's a myth or if it's a truth. Yes, what we do in church is like nothing else on earth. And as a result, it's always going to be a little strange until that Word of God starts to dwell richly in us and change us so that we find the Word of God to be the normal thing and this world to be the strange thing. But that's the way the Scriptures talk that we ought to be as Christians, strangers in this world, pilgrims looking for eternal life, looking to finally not be satisfied anywhere in this world until we are at last free from sin forever in the resurrection at the last day. That's when everything's going to feel right. That's what we're looking forward to, and that's what Lutheran worship leads us into.
Why does Lutheran worship focus on the altar, on the pulpit, on the baptismal font?
By focusing on those places, other than what? Maybe a stage for the actors and the preachers, or probably the pews, right? Focusing on me. By focusing on the altar and the pulpit and the font, it focuses on these three places where the Word of God and the gifts that that Word gives are delivered to us. In the baptismal font, we see this great promise that the Lord has given. And it is so encouraging, by the way, to the rest of the church, no matter what age group you fit into, to see a baptism in church, right? That we get to see another Christian brought into this faith. We get to see the promise given to somebody else that was given to us once, that the Lord has claimed us as His own. That He's going to, the good work that He's begun in us, He's going to bring to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we see the pulpit raised high or somehow set off in the church, we're seeing the place where the Word of God is preached to us, where the Lord not only sees that His Word from the Bible is read, which is the source of every good, but that He actually takes the time to send someone to us to speak that word directly to us. Isn't that amazing? Think about what that does for a whole community, a congregation, when they know, yeah, there's lots of God's word sounding forth in pockets all around the world, which is encouraging to know. given all the other words that are constantly rattling around in this world. But from this pulpit, we get to hear the Word of God spoken directly to us. And we as a community, as a congregation, get to live from that preaching and from those texts throughout this week. How delightful. And central of all in most churches, the altar, right? The very symbol of Christ from which His body and His blood, which were shed for us, which redeemed us, are now given to us to bestow that forgiveness here and now, physically, in a world that is chaotic in every way. At last we have order in the supper and in the Lord's Word.
You are the director of worship for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. What can you tell us about LCMS worship?
LCMS worship is a reduced crew these days. It's down to one director of worship, and to be honest, we're a little bit in the off-season. We're not making a new hymnal, all enjoying the gifts of the Lutheran service book still. But the Office of the Director of Worship works to produce resources, looks at other programs to promote worship, and to make especially this teaching of what true Lutheran worship is sound forth across our synod, to arm our pastors with resources that they can use in their ministry, and to help educate our members and our Christians in what it is that they should delight in worship, so that the Word of God can dwell always richly in them through the worship they have at their own local congregation every Sunday and every week.
LCMS Worship has produced hymn studies, weekly prayers, lectionary summaries, and more. Download these resources for free at lcms.org/worship. lcms.org/worship. Pastor Sean Denzer is Director of Worship and International Center Chaplain for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Sean, thank you again.
You're welcome.
We will be talking new secular religions on the right and the left with John Daniel Davidson, political editor at The Federalist, right after the break.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.